This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
In Megan Hunter's book, The End We Start From, the narrator gives birth while apocalyptic floods are rising in London. The book takes the reader through the year that follows, through the escape from rising waters, and through motherhood in very trying circumstances. The End We Start From is Hunter's first book. It's spare, it's lyrical, and it was quite popular with publishers, preempted by Grove Press on the eve of the 2016 London Book Fair. And it was also published in the UK, France, Germany, Canada, and Holland. It was named the November number one Indie Next Pick by independent booksellers in the United States and has received accolades and praise from fellow authors with descriptors like strange and powerful, fierce, sorrowful, and extraordinary. I caught up with Megan Hunter in Cambridge, England, via Skype to talk about her book, her writing, and the publishing process. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. You cast names aside in This Is Where We Start From. The narrator's partner is R, her son is Z, and we are introduced to F and O and B and H and W, and we don't really know the narrator by name or initial. Can you talk to me a little bit about this style choice?
It was there from the beginning, and it just felt very natural to me in terms of the quite sort of note-like quality of the book, the way it's almost like a diary or a journal. My intention was for it to be very intimate and for the reader to feel like they were in the narrator's head, as I did, really. I just felt very immersed in the text. And to me, it's quite a natural thing to refer to people in that way, you know, in a short form, in a text, you know, hi M or hi T. That's quite, for me, that's quite natural. I know that for some readers, they don't find it quite so natural. But for me, it wasn't actually like, I didn't feel like I was making this huge stylistic decision at the time. It just seemed to fit with the form of the book. And yeah, and then, you know, it made sense to stick with that all the way through. And when she's first perhaps, encountering a new character, it can take a bit of time for perhaps the reader to associate that letter. But people have told me, which is interesting, that they feel now that certain characters, even people like O, who is a slightly more minor character, you know, couldn't be known by any other initial. She had to be O, which is quite interesting.
Now, to set up the book, the narrator gives birth while apocalyptic floods are rising in London. And the book takes the reader through the first year of Z's life, through the escape from rising waters, motherhood, through very trying circumstances. And in a review in The Guardian, Justine Jordan wrote, "If motherhood now has its own literary subgenre, the same is true of climate change catastrophe." What was the thought process behind combining the two?
I was thinking about a woman in the future, really. That was my sort of premise right at the beginning, because I was writing a much bigger novel, which was about women giving birth, a succession of different generations of women. And this was the woman in the future, the kind of granddaughter, as it were, of the original character. So I knew she was in the future. And then it just felt to me, I suppose, my natural vision of the future with everything that we know about climate change and everything that is happening was that there would be some kind of threat, really, of a change from the climate. And a flood was very much the obvious choice for me and the only choice really for the type of disaster, because obviously it's one of the main threats of climate change. And there's also this kind of interesting parallel between the waters of the earth and the waters of the woman's body, really. Right at the beginning of the book, the mother's waters actually break just as London is flooding. And that parallel was very deliberate.
Now, the text of the book is very spare. It's very lyrical, and it has two styles. The first is the narrator story, and I didn't realize until page 68 that she was writing this all down, documenting the journey, when she wrote, "I want to write about the checkpoint quickly, get it over with," and then she proceeds to combine several sentences into one with no punctuation and no spaces. And her journal entries are very insightful and often felt more like poetry. How did your experience as a poet influence the style in this novel?
Well, I think I approached the novel as being somewhere between poetry and fiction, really. I was writing quite a lot of poetry, and I was also writing fiction. And I was also doing these other things that were somewhere in between, but none of them really had sort of particular narrative drive. So they ended up just being sort of fragments, you know, left on my computer. But I was definitely working with really just at the sentence level, thinking about what poetry can bring to a text and then what fiction can. And then in this story, really, I found that the sort of the unity that I was looking for, the concision of poetry and the very, very condensed and intense nature of the language. And what I hope for is, you know, it's a bit of a grand claim for me to make about my own work, but I hope that it's surprising at points and that the reader sort of stops and, you know, perhaps even reads over a certain phrase. That's what I was aiming for. But at the same time, that there's a driving narrative. That was my goal. And so, you know, if I've achieved anything close to that, then I'm pleased with that, really.
The other style in the book, there were italicized bits. And in the acknowledgments, you explained that they were inspired by and adapted from a myriad of mythological and religious texts from around the world. Talk to me a little bit about these other stories that have existed through time. I mean, there are quite a few, aren't there?
Yeah, I became really interested in that. So just before I started writing the book, I was reading this book that I have, this anthology of creation myths that I reference at the in my acknowledgements. And I was just really taken by all of these different stories around the world, and partly by their differences and the way that you know, different cultures and times have talked about the beginning of the world and the end of the world, but also by their similarities. There's this one particular myth of the earth diver, which is some kind of creature going down into the primordial waters and then bringing up a scrap of material that becomes the whole world. And in this anthology, it said that this was one of the most common prevalent myths across, you know, different countries, different times. And I thought that was so interesting, that way of conceiving at the beginning of the world. And it was very influential. Originally, the book was actually called Earth Diver to reflect that sort of interest in that particular myth and in the symbolism of that myth too. And that's a key to the hopeful quality of the book, I hope.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the publishing process, because I understand this book was preempted by Grove on the eve of the 2016 London Book Fair and went on to sell in 4 other countries during the fair. And I can't pronounce some of the names of these literary publishers, but maybe you can help me. I mean, in the UK, it was Picador. In France, I can't pronounce the French one.
Gallimard? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Germany, it was Beck, Penguin in Canada, and Holland Deep in Holland? Deep?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
This is your debut. Can you talk to me a little bit about how it's been to bring this, you know, quote unquote baby into the world and what it's been like for its first year? I mean, you said that it had a different title originally. How did the title change and everything else come about? And how was that whole process for you?
Well, the title change came about just before I actually sent it out a bit more widely. So I'd been sending it to a writing mentor before that under Earth Diver. But before it went to an agent or anything, it was already the M We Start From. But the process has been, I mean, it was really just kind of completely magical, really, and just very surprising. I mean, I'd written this, you know, very short poetic novella. I didn't have those sorts of goals in mind for its publication. I really didn't. And so when that all happened, I was very happy. But it was also quite a shock. You know, I was quite taken aback, I think, for a while. I couldn't really believe that it had all happened. But it's been really wonderful. I mean, I've worked with some wonderful editors, and I've been to Germany, and I've traveled around in this country and met other writers too, which has been wonderful. And it's a, you know, such a cliche to say a dream come true, but from when I was very young, I think about 12, I decided that I wanted to be a writer. And then, you know, other things happen, you have other jobs and have children and sort of slightly, you know, lose track of that. And so it was really lovely in my early 30s to be published and for this to happen. I think I'm still kind of getting used to it, to be honest. You know, I'm still getting used to, yeah, what I'm doing next and what it means for my writing. And yeah, I think there's always that adjustment process after the first book. I think it sounds like it's quite a common thing that writers then have a bit of a pause and a bit of a kind of struggle maybe about what's next.
Do you know what's next?
Well, yeah, that begs the question. I mean, I've been working on a novel, and I've also been working on lots of stories, and I'm finding at the moment, actually, just the particular time, stories are really kind of drawing me in. Still that concision and just that shaping of a single narrative. But I'm always writing. I write a huge amount, and then it's kind of always a question of, this is very much the way it was with The End We Start From, was that I wrote a lot of different things, you know, that never saw the light of day, and lots of experiments. I'm quite inefficient in that way. I write a lot, but only a little bit kind of actually, you know, goes into the world. So that seems to be continuing so far.
Now, you said you traveled around a bit. Have you been to the United States?
Not yet, no. No, I'm hoping to, but not yet. I mean, I have been in my life. I actually lived in the States as a child, but no, I haven't been for a while. But it's been wonderful to see it being published there and talking to people in the States. And yeah, it's amazing.
And it was the number one Indie Next pick for November, right?
Yeah, that was really amazing. I mean, I know how many books come out in America, you know, and that was just, yeah, one of those things I think that you know, probably takes a while to sink in or get your head around. That was a real honor as well, that it was chosen by booksellers.
And, you know, a lot of readers out there really look to that list. And if it makes it to number one on that Indie Next list, we know that, you know, it's kind of a sure thing. You know, you can trust it because you can really trust those booksellers. So I'm always looking to see what's on the cover of that flyer. I know that. Now, I understand that the film rights have been sold to Benedict Cumberbatch's production company, Sunny March. What has that process been like?
Oh, that was really interesting. I mean, I didn't have any expectation about the book being made into a film. I think my dad read it at a very early stage and said, I can really see the film. And I was kind of, oh, Dad, you know, don't be so silly. I really thought that was not possibly going to happen. And then my agent said, oh, I'm speaking to a film agent. And then things went from there. And it's been, yeah, I've had quite a lot of chats with, you know, people involved in that world. And it's really, really interesting just thinking about the possibilities for your work going into a completely different medium. I don't think I'm going to be directly involved in it, but it's just a really, I mean, I love film, you know, I love going to see films, but I'm not sort of an expert in film. So it's that sort of sense of just of letting go of something and letting it go into a different medium. I mean, I can't wait to see what will happen with it. It's really exciting.
That was Megan Hunter, author of the book, The End We Start From, which was published by Grove Press. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover new episodes at KMUW.org or on iTunes. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita. Our editor is Luann Stevens. Our engineer is John Cyphers, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.